Okay. Before we start, just to make a public service announcement, there's sheets on the back table. You just will. This coming Thursday night, Mirtz Hashem, at 8 p.m. in this room, we have the pleasure of hearing from Moshe Tzvi Weinberg, one of their Rebbeim in YU. He's speaking on the topic of Out of the Darkness Comes Light, Finding Nechama in the Contrast. He is an excellent speaker, and it's very kedai to come listen to him. So welcome back to our next edition of this weekly halacha from the Parsha Shir. The topic this week is discussion of different dinim in terms of health and safety, and apple a day keeps the rabbi away. Very clever. The idea is coming out of this week's Parsha, hopefully from the Psukim, about taking care of yourself. There are sheets, there are extra sheets floating around. About taking care of yourself and keeping yourself safe and guarding your life. So I wanted to start with a little forest and trees experiment. If you look in source number one, so first I want to start with the trees. So somebody please look at Pasuk Tes. These are Psukim from Parshas Ve'eschanan and Perek Dalet and Devarim. And if you look at the bold and underline, the most standout part of that Pasuk, so it says, Raki Shemer L'cho Shmor Nafshecha Ma'od. If we just look at that tree, if we just look at that one point, so what's this Pasuk talking about? It's easy. Aliyup. Yeah, exactly what our topic is, right? Staying safe. Ushmartem. Sorry, Raki Shamer Lecha, you have to keep yourself safe. You have to, I don't know, stay healthy maybe. And if you look at Pasuk Tesvav and do the same exact experiment, Meneshmartem Ma'od L'Nafsho Seichem, right? Guard yourself very much. Keep yourself very safe. So, seemingly, if we just zoned in on those very words, so these Pesukim clearly are talking about Shmiras Haguf, right? Keeping ourselves healthy, keeping ourselves safe, staying out of danger. And yet, when you look at the forest, when you zoom back out and look at the rest of the Pesukim, so does anyone know what the context here is? So it's Matan Torah, Maimed Har Sinai. The context over here is just the giving of the Torah. That pasuk of Rak Hishamer Lecho Shmor Nafshecha Ma'od has nothing to do with Shmiras Haguf. It has nothing to do with safety or health. It has to do with remembering what happened at Har Sinai. Look at the next part of the pasuk. Pentish Kachas Advarim Asher Roei Netop. Right? You can't forget what you saw here today. You can't stray away from the messages of Har Sinai of Matan Torah. So too with the Vineshmartim Ma'od L'Nafsho Seichem, it really has nothing to do with safety in the context of these Pesukim, nothing to do with health. These Pesukim clearly have to do with Matan Torah as well as Avodah Zarah and staying away from doing any Yisurim. So how did we come to such a topic? What Shaychus? In fact, if you look in Chazal, so you'll really only find, at first glance, you really only find one famous drasha on Rak Hishamer Lecha Ushmor Nafshecha Ma'od, and that's a drasha in Pirkei Avos in Perek Gimel, which says Rak Hishamer Lecha Ushmor Es Nafshecha Ma'od. You have to protect yourself. Pentishkaf, there's an Isser Lav, an Isser Daraisa to forget Torah. Nothing to do with health whatsoever. So why are we here talking about this today? So there is an interesting Gemara. It's in source number two. It's in Brachos on Lamed Beis Amud Beis. It goes over to Lamed Gimel Aleph. It looks like I forgot to put Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph there, but it doesn't really matter. So the Gemara is talking about the following dinim. Gemara is saying when a person is davening Shmoneh Esrei, he's in the middle of Tefillah. So someone, one of his friends come over and says Shalom Aleichem, says hi to him. So does he interrupt? Does he stop his Shmoneh Esrei to answer back? So the Gemara says clearly that no, you don't interrupt your Shmoneh Esrei to answer back. Even if it's a Melech Yisrael, even if it's a Jewish king that comes and interrupts you, you keep talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you don't stop to talk to the king. Now what if it's a Goyish king, someone who would clearly threaten to kill you? So in such a scenario, the Gemara says, in that case, you do stop your Shmoneh Esrei, you do answer the Goyish king, unless you have a different Eitzah, unless you have a way of being Makatzer, of shortening your Tefillah, not exactly for now, but you do avoid interrupting usually, but you interrupt your Shmoneh Esrei to answer a Goyish superior. So the Gemara then tells a story which seems to contradict that. The Gemara tells a story, Tanur Rabbanan, there's a Maisa b'chassid echad. There's a certain chassid. Chassid doesn't mean what we're used to using nowadays. It means a certain pious individual from back in the day. So this pious individual is davening Shmoneh Esrei out in the field. He was davening wherever he was davening. He's in the middle of tefillah. And over to him comes a hagmon, a certain Goyish tsar, a general in the army, let's say, a Roman general. And he says, you know, Shalom Aleichem. So he probably didn't say Shalom Aleichem, okay? But he said, hi. He said, hello, how are you? He gave him salutations, gave him a greeting. So, although the Shalom Aleichem thing, so they do say, they say back in the day that the Jews were very involved in the business of making crosses. I don't know if people know about that, that it was a very Jewish business. In fact, when I was very little, Grandpa and Grandma used to listen to a 2,000-year-old man in the car. So he talks about, right, even though I was listening, but he talks about how they used to make crosses. They'd have one guy with a big wooden stick here, one guy with a big wooden stick here, and they'd run into each other until it meshed together, and they lost a lot of Jews in that process, he said. But the Jews were very involved in the cross business, so one Jew was just getting into the business. He couldn't make a parnasso, so he had to go into the cross business. So he had to make his first phone call to order some crosses. So he was so nervous. He's Michal Hashem Shemayim. He's leaving his religion to sell crosses. It's terrible. So he's getting all nervous. He calls the number and he says, you know what? I'm just going to rehearse. Just say crosses. Don't say anything Jewish. Just get through the whole phone call. So he calls and he says, hello, this is the cross business, whatever. He says, hi, how are you? I'd like to order 200 crosses. So the voice on the other end of the line says, okay, mit Yashka or other unkashka? Yashka. But the point is, do you want it with Yashka on or do you just want the sticks plain? Anyway, so this Roman general may very well have said Shalom Aleichem. I don't know what the business was like in the Roman army. I wish I knew Yiddish better. Okay. Anyway, so the Gemara seems to say that this chassid, he was davening Shema Esrei, a Roman general came over to him and started talking to him, and he totally ignored him. The guy kept davening. He didn't answer back. Shalom Kedin, that we just said, he didn't interrupt to talk this higher up in the Roman army. So the Roman guy stood around. He waited a little bit longer. And once this chassid finished Shema Esrei, so he's not a real chassid, so he finished Shema Esrei. So the Roman general asked him, you know, why didn't you answer me when I said hi to you before? I know you're in the middle of Shema Esrei, but come on, I was talking to you. So the Jew didn't answer, and the guy says, you know, it says in your Torah, Rak hisha mer lecho shmor nafshecha meod. It says in your pasuk, you have to protect yourself. And it says, v'nishmartem meod l'nafsho seichem. These two psukim from our parsha. It says, keep yourself safe, and you know, no one's here. I could have killed you if you didn't answer me. So why did you go ahead and ignore me? Your life was at stake. So that seemingly is implying that our psukim really are talking about shmiras haguf, shmiras hanefesh. Now, in fact, the Maharsha, right there on that Gemara in Brachos, takes issue with this Gemara. He says, nowhere in Shas, nowhere in anywhere in really Chazal, do we darshan these psukim to have anything to do with shmiras haguf, exactly what we started with. These psukim don't have to do with keeping yourself safe. These psukim have nothing to do with that. These psukim are about high Sinai, about Matan Torah. They're nothing to do with health and with safety. The Minchas Chinuch in Mitzvah Tavkof Membav, he asks the exact same question, and he leaves it B'tzarach Iyin. I don't understand how this Gemara could have anything to do with Shmir Zaguf. This story makes no sense to me. So the Torah Tamima, in his commentary on the Torah, here in Ba'ez Chanan and Tez Zayin, so he offers a suggestion. He says, maybe the guy was wrong. Maybe there was no such drasha. He made up his own drasha out of nowhere. So why didn't the Jew answer him? It was a guyish cup. He didn't want to start getting into a fight with this guy about if there's a drasha, if there's not a drasha. So he just said, you know, Kal v'chomer, I'm not going to answer you because I'm talking to Melech Malchem Lachim. He gave him a whole spiel. But really, the drasha doesn't exist. There's no such thing as v'nishmartem or Raki Shamer Lecha having anything to do with safety, anything to do with staying out of danger. That's what the Torah Tamima suggests. What was strange about that is that the Rambam here in source number 3 in Hilchos Orseach, so he paskins, you have to not do dangerous things. You have to remove danger from sight. If you have a pit in your backyard, cover it up. If you have a roof, you have to put a fence around it. All these things. And what's the pasuk that he employs for that din? Hishamer lechon ushmor nafshecha. So the Rambam paskin like a guy. Okay. So the truth is that's not untenable. There are possibly other sources in Shas where we paskin like guyim. There are perhaps cases where we actually paskin like the drush of a guy even, but there are certainly cases where we paskin like the things that Goyim did. But perhaps there is a more comfortable answer, a more easy understanding of this Gemara, without having to say the Rambam paskin like the general, as opposed to the Jew in the Gemara. So the Komatz HaMincha, that's the Minchas Chinuch footnotes, so there in Mitzvah Tavkuf Mem Vav, he answers this question. He said, what does this Gemara have to do with Shmiras HaGuf? It has nothing to do with safety, nothing to do with staying out of danger. So he says, well, in fact, if you look at another Gemara in Shas, having nothing to do with our Sugya at all, the Gemara in Shavuos on Lamed Vav Amar Aleph says, HaMekalel Atzmo, someone who curses himself, someone who says bad things against himself, he's over Belav. What Lav? Rak Hishamer L'cho Shmor Nafshech Ma'od. He's not protecting himself. So says the Minchas Chinuch, I don't see anywhere in Shas where there's a drasha, that's true. I don't know exactly where Chazal got it from, but it's clear there was a Kabbalah, there was a Masorah, there was a tradition, there was something passed down generation to generation which said that these psukim of Raki Shamer Lecha and also Benishmartem have something to do with Shmiras HaGuf, even though in context it doesn't seem like that at all. These psukim really do have some drasha buried deep in history that didn't make it to our pages of the Gemara that have to do with safety, that have to do with staying out of danger. Nearly, perhaps, we could offer a little bit of a different pshat, maybe a little similar, but a little bit of difference. And that is as follows. There is a mitzvah of achilas matzah on Pesach, obviously. This is our first foray into Hilchos Matzah tonight. The mitzvah is that you eat matzah on the first night. So what about the rest of the days of Pesach? Do you have to eat matzah then? So the Pasuk in Parshas Re'eh does say, sheshes yam tocha matzos. Does say that. For 6 days, you continue to eat matzah. So is there a mitzvah d'oraisa every single day to eat matzah? So we know the answer is no, right? That's because the Gemara in Pesachim on Kuf Chaf says, those 6 days that you have to eat matzah, the Torah doesn't mean eat matzah actively. It means passively, sit back, don't eat chametz. Do the equivalent of eating matzah by avoiding chametz. So the pasuk doesn't really refer to eating more matzah. It just means stay away from eating chametz. And that's, in fact, the way the Shulchan Aruch paskins in Or HaChaim Siman Tuf Ayin Hey. But the Mishnah Berurah quotes something very important. The Mishnah Berurah, right there in Taf Ayin Hey, so he quotes, he brings down from the Gra. The Gra is found in Maaser Rav in Kuf Pei Hey. The Gra says a very, very famous thing. The Gra says that even though there's no mitzvah chiyuvis, there's no demand, there's no obligation to eat matzah all 7 days of Pesach, there is a mitzvah chiyumis. There is a kiyum mitzvah. You can fulfill the mitzvah even without being commanded in it. Now, even though you're not chayav to do it, it's still good to do it. That's what the Gra is saying for all 6 days. Now, where did the Gra come up with that? How do you know there were 6 days that you could do the mitzvah again without being chayav? Where did that come from? So it's suggested that in the Ibn Ezra and the Chizkuni, they learn the Gemara, the Pasuk this way, rather, that it's true that the Pasuk says, Sheish Yom Tochal Matzos, but the Gemara in Pesachim says that doesn't mean you should eat matzah all 6 days. That's true. But there is an inyan, there is an idea, a concept in Judaism that even when we have a drasha, an additional level of interpretation, we try to keep the pshuto shamikra. We try to keep what the pasuk itself says. Even if we have a drasha that takes us in a different direction, but if the pasuk says one thing, so we do try to do that as well. This concept shows up in at least two other places that I'm familiar with. We don't have so much time right now. But one example, the pasuk by Aravo says, Arve nachal, you're supposed to take my bar mitzvah parsha. No one should be chosh that I know any Tanakh. But it says that you should take Arve Nachal Aravos from the side of the river. So do we actually have a din that you have to go to the side of the river and pick Aravos? No, there's no such din. And yet the Torah quotes that there's a chumrah, there's a good thing to do, that if you can find Aravos that came from the banks of the river, best to do that because it's Mekayim the Pshuto Shel Mikra. The Pasuk does say Arve Nachal, so presumably you should try to keep what the Pashup Shat, the simple reading, the Psukim is. With that understanding, so perhaps you can come back here. We started with the forest and the trees. So it's true that the forest showed us that these psukim have nothing to do with Shmiras HaNefesh, nothing to do with Shmiras HaGuf, nothing at all. But if you read the words, when we started with the trees, the pshuto shel mikra, the very basic words in front of you, say, guard your life, keep yourself safe, stay out of danger. And so I don't need a Kabbalah, I don't need a Masorah, I don't need a tradition from earlier in Chazal. The second I have a pshuto shel mikra, words in the Torah which say that you need to do something, even if Chazal took us in a totally different direction, there's still a concept, there's still an inyan to be mekayim that pshuto shel mikra. There's still an inyan to keep to that pasuk the way it says very, very clearly in the pasuk, even though Chazal took us another way. Again, there are other examples that perhaps this is one. Now, some point out, among them the Kli Yakar in our parsha and the Netziv on our parsha, that the word nefesh usually does not mean guf. The word nefesh means something more ruchni, something more spiritual. Our neshama, our nefesh, are usually associated with one another. And in fact, they quote, the Paradis Yosef quotes from the Chozmi Lublin, but also the Arugas Habosam writes this in Parshas Re'ei, that we know there's a klal in the Gemara, kol achin v'rakin shebetorah boim lema'it, which means that anytime the pasuk is ach or rak, right, those two words, anytime it says that, it's coming to limit, or coming to lessen, or coming to remove something from the mashmaos of the pasuk, from what seems to be true in the pasuk. So says the Chozim Yilblin and the Arugas HaBosim, they say like this. The pasuk says, Rak Hishamer Lecha. You, Rak, keep yourself a little bit safe. Yourself, don't worry so much about your health. But, Ushmor Nafshecha, your nefesh, your spirituality, your ruchnius, Ushmor Nafshecha Me'od, that you have to be very careful about. That you have to take extra precautions, that you have to protect in the highest way possible. Again, this focus on the word nefesh, meaning something ruchni, something spiritual, and not necessarily shmiras haguf, not necessarily anything to do with our title of this shir. It's a nice drush, but in halacha, it's obviously not true. In halacha, we obviously, in most cases, give precedence to the guf, to the body, over the nefesh. If you're going to be faced with a choice between keeping mitzvahs and giving up your life, so in most scenarios, you keep the mitzvahs, you don't give up your life. And the Torah Tamima answers the question. He says, what do you mean nefesh means ruchnius? It doesn't mean guf, it doesn't mean your body. So he says, there are plenty of cases in Tanakh, I only remember a few of them. Ki tzalta nafshim mimaves, aches dimchem nafshim seichem edrosh, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu refers to the guf, the body, as a nefesh. So it's clear that the word nefesh doesn't have to mean ruchnius, it doesn't have to mean spirituality, it can mean the guf. And so our psukim, pshuto shel mikra, again, the regular words in the pasuk, reading them straight up, seem to mean shmiras haguf, you have to keep healthy, stay safe. When I was in Eretz Yisrael studying in Yeshiva HaKotel, so we went on a trip to Bnei Brak on Shabbos. And when we were there, we had the pleasure of hearing from a Rav Hananya Cholak, who is, I don't know if anyone here has heard of the, organization called Ezer Mitzion. Ezer Mitzion is like the biggest, it's a huge chesed organization in Eretz Yisrael. They deal with everything from hospitals to everything else. So he is the founder and the international director. He's like a big deal on this. So he's a guy who lives in Bnei Brak. So he came to speak to us. So in his life, he had a lot to do with Rav Shach, Rav Elazar Man Shach. He was his shamish for a while. So he said that one year towards the end of Rav Shach's life, Rav Shach was very sick with a throat disease. And what happened, that if he ate foods that weren't good for him, they would go down to his chest. They wouldn't go down correctly, and it could cause terrible cases of pneumonia, which potentially were life-threatening. So The doctor said, "B'shum panim ofen, you can't eat matzah this coming Pesach. You're not allowed to eat matzah. It's too rough. It won't go down well. You can't do it." So Rav Shach said, "Okay, what can I do? Come Pesach, obviously." Rav Shach says to Rav Cholak, his shamish, he says, "Give me some matzah." So Rav Cholak says, "I can't give you matzah. It's against the doctor's orders. He said not to. You're going to die." So Rav Shach said, "Give me matzah." And it's Rav Shach talking. You don't want to say no to Rav Shach. He says, "Just give me a kezias. I just need a little bit to get this mitzvah." So just a side note, it's questionable if he'd be mekayim that mitzvah once he was so sick the doctor told him not to eat it. So clearly he either held that he would be mekayim it, like some achronim who do say that, or he knew that he wasn't going to get it and he was just trying to show how excited he was about matzah. Either way, so Rav Shach asked for the matzah. He said, "Even though I'm sick, I want the matzah." So Rav Cholak, his shamish, said back, "But Rebbe, it says in the pasuk, 'Ushmartem es ha-matzos,' you have to keep the mitzvah of matzos." So that's true. But the pasuk about your shmiras haguf says, "Raki shamer lecha ushmor nafshecha me'od." So how can I give you the matzos, which are just ushmartem es ha-matzos, when I have to keep to ushmor nafshecha me'od? You have to keep yourself very healthy, as opposed to just keeping the matzos at a simple level. So that very rarely do you hear a story where the shamish had the last word and he had the zinger. But in this case, that's what happened, and he in fact did not give the matzah to Rav Shach, and I don't want to know what happened afterwards. Either way, everyone seems to agree, all the poskim, all the achronim, all the rishonim, that these psukim really do refer, also at least, to shmiras haguf, to keeping healthy, to staying safe. So how serious is that mitzvah? Is it a mitzvah d'araisa? So we do have a pasuk, we have two psukim, so maybe it should be d'araisa. On the other hand, we don't have any drushes in Chazal, right? We mentioned it's missing from all of the Shas Bavli and all the other places in Chazal. So maybe it's only derabanan. So what's the pshat? Is it d'araisa or derabanan? So if you look at the Rambam, also it's still in source number 3, so it's a little confusing. In the Rambam we quoted in source number 3, so the Rambam quotes this issue of staying safe, of keeping out of danger, and he says, "Shenemar, there's a din d'araisa, hishomer lecha ushmor nafshecha." You have a mode, right? You have to keep to the mitzvah of staying safe, staying out of danger. I didn't put on the sheet accidentally, but the next halacha in the Rambam, I guess it's the same lashon as the Shulchan Aruch in source number 4, so we'll read it there. The Rambam says, "Harbe dvarim asru chachamim neshiyesh bem sakanas nevashos." So in the first halacha, the Rambam told us what? That there's a mitzvah d'araisa of hishamer lecha ushmor nafshecha ma'od. You have to keep very safe, stay out of danger. In the very next halacha, he says, "Asru chachamim, the chachamim made it asr." So what's pshat? Is it d'araisa or is it d'rabanan? So Tosfos in Avodah Zarah and Lamed Hey, Tosfos say that it's actually derabanan. The whole din is derabanan. The sakana, that if you're getting yourself into danger, that's only an iser derabanan. It's only a mitzvah derabanan to stay out of danger. That's all derabanan. These psukim are just esmachtas. They're just nice things to rely on for the mitzvah derabanan. In fact, the Stei Chemed, he quotes many other sources for this. The Chida as well said that it was only derabanan. But in Shulchan Aruch over here, Shulchan Aruch talks about sakanas nefashos, about staying out of sakana in three places. Here in Choshen Mishpat, Simon Tavchav Zayin, it's also in Yoredei and Kuftes Zayin, and it's also in Yoredei and Kufayin Tes. So in all three of those places, so there's a discussion whether it's a Dindar Raisa or a Dindar Abanan. The Be'er HaGola in Choshen Mishpat over there, Tavchav Zayin, so the Be'er HaGola suggests both ways. He says maybe it's Darabanan, maybe it's Daraisa, and he ends up defending that it's Daraisa. So what do we think in the Rambam? It's not clear. So perhaps we could just suggest, and it has been suggested already, that the Rambam also means it's a din d'araisa, that there's actually a mitzvah d'araisa to stay safe, to stay out of danger from these psukim. So how could that be? He said, asru chachamim. So let's give a mashal. Another very famous Rambam. The Rambam in his in his introduction to Sefer Mitzvos, he wrote Sharashim, different foundations of how he's counting mitzvos. So in Shorash tests, sort of by the way, Agav, he explains to us that the mitzvah of v'ahavta l'reach kamocha is obviously a mitzvah d'araisa. It's in the psukim of Parshas Kedoshim. And within that rubric of v'ahavta l'reach kamocha falls nichma velim, Bikur Cholim, Hachnasas Chazmikala, all these Kvura, all these mitzvahs, Binam L'Chavero, fit into the mitzvah of Yahavlo Yechamocha. Makes perfect sense. In the Rambam, in Hilchas Avelos, in the first halacha, in Perak Yedalad, so the Rambam says the exact same thing. There's a mitzvah that writes of Yahavlo Yechamocha, and these mitzvahs, Nicham Avelim, again, Bikur Cholim, all those things, fall directly into that mitzvah that writes. And yet the next words in the Rambam say, these mitzvahs are Shel Devrayim. These mitzvahs are Mi Devrayim. And he says the same thing in Shorosh Aleph in Sefer Mitzvahs. It's only Mi Devrayim. Midivrayim generally connotes a din derabanan. So what's happening here? The Rambam on the one hand says that like all these things, nichama aveilim, bikur cholim, all these things are dinim daraisa, v'hafalech kamocha. On the other hand, he's saying they're dinim derabanan, they're mishal devrayim, they have nothing to do with daraisa. So what's the pshat? So it seems obvious, and subsequently I saw it in the Achronim as well, that what the Rambam means is there's an umbrella mitzvah, right? There's an overarching mitzvah of v'hafalech kamocha. Now within that mitzvah fall very many topics like Nicham Avelim, Bikur Cholim, all of those mitzvahs that we mentioned. Are they Daraisa? 100%. They fall right into the Haftalah Yechamocha. They're Kiyum Daraisa. But When the Torah says v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha, so I don't know what that means. I know I have to love my friend. How? When? Who? Who's my friend? The chacham have to come and say, this guy's your friend, this is how you have to love him, this is when you have to love him. They say you have to do bikur chol, and they say you have to do nicham avelam. They tell you the pratim, the details. So the Torah tells you one overarching theme, one umbrella mitzvah, and within that general moral imperative, we would say, for all these different pratim, these different details, which the chacham are charged with interpreting for you. So it is a mitzvah daraisa, but the chacham are charged with teaching you where that mitzvah daraisa implies. The achronim all say this answer of Bezalel Zhulti in his Mishnas Yaivet in Yor Day and Lamed Zayin, the Hemek Shela, the Netziv, in his Sheiltos Kof Lamed Zayin. The Rav said this in Mishir Mazecha Abba Mori, and my Rebbe Rav Torsky Shlita once pointed out that it's also found in Rav Chaim Kanievsky's Sefer Orchos Yosher in his Perek on Gemilas Chasadim. So this concept exists, this general imperative that within it falls many different mitzvahs that the Rabbanan figure out for us. Great. So now let's come back to our mitzvah. Mitzvah v'nishmartem od l'nafsho seichem. You have to keep yourself safe. So what does that mean? So is that deraisa or derabanan? The Ram says deraisa, but then he says asur chachamim. So maybe the exact answer is what we just said. There's a mitzvah deraisa, a general imperative, a moral klal, which says v'nishmartem od l'nafsho seichem. Keep yourself very safe. How? When does that apply? How do I keep myself safe? Should I plan electric railroad tracks? I don't know. So come and asur chacham. The chacham decide for you. They're charged with the task of saying, this is Asr Daraisa, that's Asr Daraisa, this is part of Zakana, this is not part of Zakana. It's this general imperative which falls under it, the Chacham's charge to teach us them. Now, that concept that we saw exists, sort of Asher Weiss Shlita in his book Minchas Asher, so he says that idea. And it's also found in the Chassam Sofer in his Chidushim to Avodah Zarah and Daf Lam Raman Aleph. All these people say the same idea, that there's this big mitzvah of Vinishmartem, and then within it fall different details. If there's a big mitzvah of Vinishmartim, so it explains two interesting stories. My chavrusa, Rabbi Ru Berman Sheyechia, so he told me a very interesting story that he found. He said he found a great story in a sefer called B'Shem Omer. I didn't find the sefer. I don't know where he found it, but I didn't find it online. That there was a certain gadol who was a little bit sick come Yom Kippur time. The doctor said he had to eat. So when he was breaking his fast in Yom Kippur, you'd think he'd be very depressed, very upset. But apparently at the time where this gadol was eating his first bite on Yom Kippur, he said, oh, finally, I'm able to be Mekayim v'nishmartem od l'nafsho seichem. This is the mitzvah daraisa that I'm able to be Mekayim right now. So that's a good story. I found a better story. It's in a random, more random sefer, but the story goes as follows. A certain Hasidish Rebbe, that's important for the end of the story, was once also forced to eat on Yom Kippur. And as he was about to sit down and eat this whatever it was on Yom Kippur, seemingly a depressing, terrible time. So he mustered much kavana and he said, Baruch atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Asher Kedishanu Mitzvah V'tzivanu. So, I'm not sure I'd recommend making that bracha. Not even sure I'd recommend answering Amen, as per the Shulchan Aruch that we mentioned last week. But clearly the idea is the same, that this gadol and this Hasidish gadol, both of them felt there was a mitzvah d'orais at hand, a very serious mitzvah, a very exciting mitzvah, to keep ourselves safe, to keep ourselves out of danger, even in the most scary of circumstances, like eating Yom Kippur. Whether it's d'orais or not, Kavi is Derabana, but it's seemingly very important, at least. Kavi is Derabana, yeah. I think the Lashon of the Gadol in the Sefer that I didn't see was that I was Mekayim of this mitzvah. But I think the Mashmaz was Derais in the Sefer, but I didn't see it inside.
That story was with Yerichaim.
Which one?
The second one.
They didn't quote the name in the...
He's no small...
That is true. Okay. Not only is this probably a Din Daraisa, but it's also more chamer, potentially, more stringent, more important in some ways than even other dinim daraisa. What do I mean by that? So the Ramah here quoted in source number 5 in Yerodeh and Sim Kuf Tez Zayin, it's in Sif Hei. So the Ramah quotes a Gemara in Chulin, which shows up on Tesam Beis. The Gemara says, Chamira Sakanta Mei Isura, which means that there are certain ways in which Sakana is more chamer, more stringent than Isurim, than other Isurim daraisa. It's more important and more stringent. What does that mean? So the Chassam Sofer, we mentioned him before, in Avodah Zarah, so he mentions two examples. First of all, the din of batal barov, that usually we say that if some minority falls into some majority, so it's batal, it's nullified, that may not exist by sakana, as well as batal b'shishim, in very, very rare scenarios would that exist. And in fact, if you look in Yabia Omer, Rav Avadya's bigger sefer, in Yordaya Chelek Aleph, it's in Simin Ches and Tes, he discusses whether it's like a meat soup that you drop fish into. So is that ever batal b'shishim? Could you ever have a din of nullification in such a soup? Because again, fish and meat put together is an issue of sakana in Chazal. I wanted to talk about this tonight. I don't think we'll have time. So since chamira sakanta meisura, since there's certain stringencies to sakana, so maybe batal barov doesn't apply. So you have to ayin sham, look over there in Rav Avadya to see what exactly he says. Now, the Chassam Sofer adds that a sveik sveika, right? When there's two suffiks, one built on top of the other, it's basically a big suffik. So in that case, usually we say sfeik sfeik o lekula. If you have such a suffik, even on a din daraisa, we go lekula. But says the Chassam Sofer, that's not true by sakana. When you have a case where it's dangerous, so even if it's a big suffik, so you're still going to be machmir, you're still going to avoid the sakana. So does that apply all the time, even if it's the biggest suffik in the world? So that's clearly not true. The Pisrei Tshuva in Yerodeya and Simon Shinden Zayin, he quotes another Chassam Sofer in his Tshuvos in Yerodeya. The Chassam Sofer dealt with the following question. They used to bury their mesim right away after the mesim died, which makes perfect sense. That's what we do as well. But they asked the Chassam Sofer, well, there's this idea that maybe within the first 3 days, we don't know for sure if he's dead. Maybe he'll come back to life, and then the next couple of days, join us for a minyan. See last week's shir. So if that's true, so maybe we have a sakana. We have a danger on our hand. We're going to bury this guy alive, Nebuch. Sounds pretty bad. So I think they used to bury people with bells. I don't know if anyone can confirm that, Grandpa. I think back in the day, they say they used to bury people with like a string attached to a bell, just in case. But they asked the Chassam Sofer, is this a good enough reason? There's a zakana, there's a danger here. So can we push off the burial 3 days and wait 3 days to bury the mace before burying him, lest he be alive?
That's where the expression saved by the bell.
Saved by the bell, there you go. Okay. Okay. It wasn't that long ago, everyone. It was like 10 years ago, maybe 15. So perhaps we should not bury our mason for about 3 days because lest they come back to life. So says the Chassam Sofer in Yerodeya, that's ridiculous. That's the biggest suffix in the world. You have 1 in 1,000, 1 in 1,000,000 people that come back to life after 3 days. You have to keep the din daraisa and bury them right away. So even though it's true that a sakana is very important and we have to stay away from it at all costs, even in a case of sfeik sfeik, a much doubt, but in this case there's just way too much doubt. 1 in 1,000, that's not good enough. And so, in such case, you can bury your mace, don't worry about it whatsoever. Okay, we've seen until now that there is this idea of shmiras haguf, that you have to keep yourself healthy, stay out of danger, even though the psukim aren't very clear in context that they're referring to that, but we saw that pshuto shel mikra, and maybe there's a Kabbalah and Chazal, they do apply to that. We do talk about these psukim, Raki Shamer Lecha, Shmor Nafshecha Ma'od, Minashmarta Ma'od L'Nafshasechem. Those two psukim do refer to Shmir Sukkot, staying healthy, keeping out of danger. We discussed that maybe that's a Dindar Raisa. Maybe we have a Raya from two stories. Maybe we don't. Maybe we shouldn't have made fun of Rebbe. Maybe we should have. We're not sure. But either way, we have all this discussion, whether it's Dindar Raisa, Dindar Abanan, how Chamer it is, how important it is, how stringent it is, even a Sveik Sveika, even Batal Barov. All those things are true. Great. Now, if it's a din daraisa, if it's so chamer, so what's the tam ha-mitzvah? We have to understand why. Why is there a mitzvah? Why do you have to keep yourself safe? Why do you have to stay out of danger? It seems very logical, but is there a pointed reason? So the way that I put together the sugya, so I've seen three basic reasons. You could either put them together or separate them as you please, but I would present them as follows. They're all found in source number 6. The first is 6 Aleph on the right side, and that's our advice found in the Rambam, as you see here in Sanhedrin, Yud Ches Vav. Marina Rav Shechter Shlita quotes this Radvaz a lot. That's how I know it. It's not from my own Bekiyas. But the Radvaz says, Efshar Laseis Ktsas Tam. We can give a reason. Lefisha Ein Nafsho Shal Adam Kinyano Ela Kinyan HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says the Radvaz, I know we think that we have so much rights to our body. I know we think that we're the owners, we're the Bailin, we're in control of ourselves. But the truth is you're not. The truth is your body belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mashal Ma'adav Adoma. A father tells his son, you know, you could take the car for the week, for the month, for the year. So he gives him the keys. The son eats his burgers in the car, the son drives the car, the son fills up his own gas. Everything he does, he's using the car as if it's his own. But is it his car? Obviously not. It's still kinyano shel ha-father shelo, right? It's still his father's car, and he's just using it. He has the rights to go ahead and use it to drive and use it to eat his burgers in there, whatever. But it's still his father's car. And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us his body to do mitzvahs, to do good things, to learn Torah, to work, to do all these things. So we take control of the body in a certain way, but it's never ours. It always belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It always focuses right back on him. In another context, I heard of Schechter quote this as well. He was once brought into a psycho-bio class in YU. No, I'm not a psychology major. I skipped the class that I was supposed to be in and went to that class. And the professor invited him to talk about taking Adderall and Ritalin, these different ADHD medicines, in order to stay up and focus on studying or learning. Can you sort of like alter your psyche by taking these drugs in order to study better? So Schechter said it's obvious that you're not allowed to do that because nothing to do with sakana, nothing to do with danger, nothing to do with our psukim. But like the Radvaz says, you're not the bailam on your body. Hashem gave you certain kochos. He gave you the ability to do X, Y, and Z. You're going to take medicine to alter that entirely. You're going to, you know, throw off your body in such a funky way, assuming that it does throw off your body in such a funky way, that's going to make you a superpower. It's going to make you a performance-enhancing whatever, drugs. So, said Rav Shechter, no, you're not in charge of yourself in such a way to throw around your body like that. It's not yours. It's the body of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the first reason, probably, for staying safe. Staying healthy, keep me out of danger. The second is here, Sefer HaChassidim, Simon Tafresh, Ayin Hey. The Sefer HaChassidim says, we know there's a mitzvah in the Torah, an iser in the Torah, achas dimchem lenafsho sechem edrosh, that there's a iser daraisa to commit suicide, to kill yourself. So the Chazal have a lashon called mali katla kula, mali katla palga. It doesn't matter if you start the killing, it doesn't matter if you finish the killing. If you start killing yourself, so you're already over on that iser. You already started doing suicide, you've already started doing this iser of achas dimchem. So says the Sefer HaChassidim, you can't put yourself in a sakana, you can't put yourself in danger, you can't step into a street without looking both ways, you can't play on the electric railroad tracks from before, because it's suicide, even though you're not fully killing yourself, hopefully, but it's suicidal. It's one step towards killing yourself. That's obviously usher from the Torah, that's obviously something you have to avoid. I do think I remember seeing that same idea in Chovos HaLevavos and Shaar Bitachon Perek Dalid, but it's a very long perek. I wasn't able to find it just now, so if anyone does, or any of the 1,000 listeners at home, so please let me know. The Rambam in Hilchos Deos takes a third approach. Hilchos Deos Perek Ches, Dalit. Wow. Okay, the Rambam in Hilchos Deos. Hi, there's going to be a shiur Thursday night, 8 p.m. Start again. Okay. So the Rambam in Hilchos Deos Perek Dalit says that there's an idea of being Ovid Hashem. We were put in this world to worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to serve Him the best of ways, to do His mitzvahs, to learn His Torah. So it makes sense then that if He gives us a body, we have to protect it in order to reach that goal, in order to serve Hashem, in order to be Ovid Hashem. So says the Rambam, there's an iser to get into trouble with yourself, to put yourself in danger, there's a mitzvah to stay safe, because you have to keep that body functioning, you have to keep yourself ra'i, fit to worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the best way possible. That's quoted by the Tur in Or HaChaim, Simon Kufnun Hay, and it's quoted here in the Mishnah Berurah on the source sheet in Kufnun Hay, Sifkat Yud Aleph. Those are the three reasons why there is this idea of keeping yourself safe and staying out of danger. So just to review, we have the Pesukim, we're not sure what they mean. We have a Gemara in Brachos, which seems to imply they mean Shmir Saguf. We have a Marsha, we have a Minchas Chinuch, they don't know what the Pesukim are talking about. But we said that maybe the Pesukim are either Pshuto Shamikra, the Pashtus is, that the Pasuk means you have to protect your body. And even if it's not true, so there's a Kabbalah by Chazal somewhere that's what the Pesukim mean. And then we said maybe it's even Daraisa. Maybe it's Daraisa with Dirabban and Pratim, that the Chachamim came and said where the Daraisa applies. Maybe that's true. We said no matter what the din is, that if it's Daraisa or Dirabban, and still in some ways more stringent, more Chamer than even other Dinim Daraisa. And then we just explained now the three reasons perhaps why this Isser exists. That you're not the Bailim, you're not the controller of your body, you're not the owner of your body. That it's one step towards suicide, and also that you have to be an Ovid Hashem, you have to protect your body so you can serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu. The common denominator between all three of those reasons is that you have to keep yourself safe. Good. So now that we know that, so what about the following Shaila? This is the question that's discussed most commonly in this sugya, the question of smoking. So why is it even a question? It's obviously very dangerous, it's obviously very usher. So the answer is you're right. It's obviously very dangerous, and it's obviously very usher. But the Metzius wasn't always such. It wasn't always assumed, the Messias might have been always the same way, but it wasn't always assumed that smoking was dangerous. The Yavits, and among the Achronim, other people, Pnei Yoshua, other people, they all claim that even though we now think that smoking is dangerous, but at a certain point in history, they thought it was good for digestion, it was good for, I think they even thought at one point it was good for your breathing. Figure that one out. But somehow there was some health benefit, some factor of good to smoking back in the day, So it's hard to argue with the people from the past, and they didn't have the science in front of them that we do. If you look in the Sefer Kol Avi Noam, it was written by Rav Shlomo Warman, who was the Rosh Yeshiva of Hank for many, many years. He came from Europe. He was a big gaon. He was a Talmud of Rav Lazer Silver in Cincinnati. He's a very, very big, prolific writer, very big genius. So in the Sefer Kol Avi Noam, in Siman Nun Aleph, so he quotes all these sources, all the different people who said smoking was okay, say smoking isn't okay. It's definitely Kedai. It's good to look over there. But basically nowadays, we would all agree that smoking is very dangerous and thus very usher. But even some more modern poskim, among them Rav Moshe here in source number 7, Yorodea Chelik Beis, Simen Mem Tes, but it also shows up in Choshen Mishpat Chelik Beis, Simen Ayin Vav. So in those two places, Rav Moshe says that although it's true that you shouldn't start smoking, it's not the best idea to pick up that habit, but if you are already smoking, it's hard for me to say that it's really usher. That's what Moshe says. It's hard for me to find a way to say that it's really prohibited, really an isser, daraisa, derabanan, anything to smoke. Why? So Rav Moshe employs the pasuk of Shomer Pesayim Hashem. It's a pasuk found in Tehillim. If you translate it very literally, it means guardian of the fools is Hashem. People who smoke. Okay. So Rav Moshe says, you have to say that you have to have a better way to say it's usher, because I have this pasuk that says Hashem guards people who do dangerous things. Now, what does this pasuk mean? We have to explore that a little bit and see if we can come back and explain why it does or does not apply to Rav Moshe's exact case. So if you look at the Gemara in Brachos, turn over the page, Source number 8, the Gemara in Brachos on Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, it also shows up in Tainus on Chaf Amud Beis. The Gemara says, Lo'olam al yamud adam b'makom zakana lomar she'osin lo neis. A person should never stand under a crumbling wall, under a bridge that's falling, in a fiery house, whatever it may be. He should never put himself in a dangerous scenario and say, oh, don't worry, I'm relying that a neis will happen, some miracle will save me. Why not? The Gemara explains why not. But seemingly the reason at the first step of the Gemara is because of this very din that we're talking about. You have to keep yourself out of danger. You have to keep yourself safe. Minishmartim ma'od l'nafsh seichem does not include standing in a fiery house or under a crumbling bridge. So says the Gemara, okay, so l'olam al yamud b'makom sakana, never put yourself in a dangerous scenario. Now, are there ever scenarios where you could put yourself in a little bit of danger? Says the Gemara, yes. The Gemara in Shabbos, on Kuf Chav Tesim Beis, says that they used to have this practice of bloodletting. That in order to relieve some places stress, some places health reasons, in order to keep themselves fit and healthy, so they would let some blood using leeches once in a while. So when did they do this practice? So the Gemara says, a very interesting esoteric Gemara, there's forces in the world that are affecting the winds on certain days. So whatever, the Gemara recommends you only do bloodletting on Sunday, Thursday, and Friday, I think it was. Sunday and Thursday and Friday. So why can't you do Wednesday, says the Gemara? It says because there are certain mazalos, certain spirits that are affecting the air that it's not so good, it won't be healthy for you, you're not going to be in good shape if you do bloodletting on Wednesday. Says the Gemara, wait, those same forces also exist on Friday at some hour, so shouldn't you not do it on Fridays also? Says the Gemara, Kevan Dedashu Be'Rabim, since so many people already do bloodletting on Fridays, since they're already so used to doing that, Shomer Pesayim Hashem. Hashem protects those people, and it's not really a danger, really they will stay safe. Since so many people do it, you can do it as well, do the bloodletting on Friday, and everything will be okay, Hashem will guard you. A similar Gemara shows up here, source number 9, in Gemara Nevo Zara and Lamed Amud Beis. The Gemara says a person can eat grapes and figs at night. Why wouldn't he be able to eat grapes and figs at night? So it has nothing to do with dieting. The reason is because they used to have snakes that were very, very prevalent in their homes, and they were worried that snakes would bite into their fruits and inject venom into the fruits. So says the Gemara, you don't have to worry about eating grapes and figs at night. You don't have to worry that it's dark out, you can't see, there's a hole in there that the venom is in, that the poison is in. You don't have to worry about that. Go ahead and eat your grapes and figs at night. Shomer Pesayim Hashem. Says the Gemara, you'll be guarded, you'll be safe, because Hashem guards the Pesayim. So what does this mean, this idea of Shomer Pesayim? Sometimes we're safe, sometimes we're not safe. So there are at least three explanations of Shomer Pesayim. We only really have time for two. The first one is what we simply said right away. Kevan Dedashu Be'Rabim, Shomer Pesayim Hashem. When something's just a little bit dangerous, so you shouldn't do it. But if you see that everyone's doing it and no one's getting hurt, everyone's safe, Kevan Dedashu Be'Rabim, everyone lets their blood out on Fridays, everyone does that, then we know, Shomer Pesayim Hashem. It's a clear sign, it's a clear symbol that Hashem is protecting the people who do that action. So in any case where you see statistics prove that there's no danger in doing this because everyone does it and they're okay, so then the same thing exists for you. You can go ahead and put yourself in that scenario. Shomer Pesayim Hashem. Hashem will guard you. Perhaps a more clear definition is given by Rav Asher Weiss in his Minchas Asher. He quotes the Radak. The Radak is on that Pasuk in Tehillim. It's source number 10 over here. The Radak explains what Pesi means. Pesi means fool. The Radak says, "Sha'in lahem tzad acher." A pesi she'ein yodea. A pesi is someone who he doesn't know. He's ignorant. He's not so much a fool as he's ignorant, oblivious. He's clueless. So if you're clueless in a scenario, if this is dangerous or not, so then says the pasuk, "Shomer pesayim Hashem." If you have no way of figuring out, I don't know. Maybe I'll be safe. Maybe I won't. There seems like a good risk to take. So then the pasuk says, "Shomer pesayim Hashem." You'll be protected. Don't worry too much. Hashem will guard you. But in any scenario where it's clearly going to be dangerous, or it's clearly against societal norms. So in those scenarios, no Shomer Pesayim Hashem, stay away from danger, keep yourself safe. Says Rav Asher, the definition is that it has to be something that seems normal to society. Smoking never seems normal to society. It seems like you're inhaling smoke into your lungs. That doesn't seem safe. So you can't say Shomer Pesayim Hashem. You can't now say that Hashem's going to guard you, because you're not oblivious, you're not clueless, you know full well that this is against societal norms. This is a very clear definition of Shomer Pesayim Hashem that's also found by Rav Eliezer Waldenberg and his Tzitz Eliezer in Chelek Tes of his Tshuvos. What it would lead to is as follows. It's known that statistically it's very dangerous to drive a car, right? But it's not so statistically dangerous, except for last year, to go on a plane, right? Those two things are true. And yet it's clearly mutter to drive in a car. We all do it all the time. Why? Because society looks at driving in a car as a normal thing to do. It's true that people get hurt all the time. But Shomer Pesayim Hashem, we don't have another option. We see everyone does it. So in that scenario, it's mutter. Now let's take the flip example. Planes are statistically pretty safe. What's even safer than planes is skydiving. Not so many people die from skydiving every year. I think actually that happened last year too. if I'm not mistaken. But not so many people do die from skydiving every year. So is it mutter now? No, it has nothing to do with statistics. If it's flying in the face of death, if you're staring death in the face and laughing, if you're jumping out of an airplane and like hurling to the ground, so as safe as the statistics say it is, it's not safe. It's not Shomer Pesayim Hashem. It's not something you can go against the grain and do. And this plays very strongly into the question about skiing. We know that skiing is a big topic, a hot topic, whether you're allowed to go skiing, whether you're not. I think Rav Willig Shlita is most famous for saying that he doesn't approve of people skiing too much. I don't know what the psak is or what it isn't, but according to our definition from Rav Asher Weiss, so skiing seems like a normal weekend or vacation activity. So even if it has some dangerous outcomes that come out every year, even if that's true, but perhaps according to our definition, it would still be mutter. You'd have to ask a posek. I'm certainly not really to tell you that. Rav Warman in his Sefer Kol Avinoam points out that no matter what you say about smoking, it's still secondhand smoke is even worse. Studies show that secondhand smoke affects all the people around them. And so even if you found a way to say it's mutter, like Rav Moshe or whatever, some crazy excuse to say it's mutter to smoke, but it's obviously usher to affect people around you. And in fact, Rav Moshe himself in his Tshuvos in Choshen Mishpat, in Chelek Beis, he himself says that smoking in a base medrash is totally usher because you're going to cause the people around you tsar, and that's usher for totally different reasons. You're never allowed to cause people pain or anguish. Okay, now we fully understand there's this isser or mitzvah of nishmartim od nafsho seichem, an isser to put yourself in danger, probably a din d'oraisa. Maybe we had some proofs for that. And we said it's a very chamer isser, it's very important, more than even other isurim. And we just explained that there are some scenarios where you can put yourself in danger, but that's only when the danger is very small. And it's a very normal circumstance where we say, Shomer Pesayim Hashem, Hashem's not going to let you get into trouble in such a far-off circumstance. Now that we fully understand there's an isser, so there's a very gishmak, very interesting, very very fascinating shaila that Rav Avadya was asked in source number 11, Tzichav Das, Chilak Dalet, Simen Yad Dalet. So Rav Avadya was asked the following question. Let's say a person decides to go swimming in ice water in the middle of the winter, or not wear a jacket the entire winter just to show his friends how cool he is. Cool, not intended to be a pun. Now, so we know that usually there's a din that after you are saved from a scary circumstance, let's say you're sick for a long time or a short time, and you miraculously recover, so you make a bracha called Berchas HaGomel, that you thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for saving your life. What are the circumstances where you make such a bracha? So the Gemara tells us it's... Well, I'll tell you a code for it. Kol ha-chayim yudu chasala. Chayim is Rashi Tevo's chole, yam, yisurim, and midbar. So there are four scenarios when you're sick, when you're driving, when you're, boating over water, when you have yisurim, great pain, great anguish, and when you're traveling through the midbar, through the desert, in a scary scenario, if you get out of those things alive, get out of them safe, you make a berchas hagomel, you thank Hashem for saving your life. So what about that scenario? Let's say you put yourself in that situation. You caused yourself to be in danger, and now Hashem saved you. So do you thank Hashem? Why wouldn't you? What's the reason? So we just said, v'nishmartim od l'nafsho seichem. There's an isser to do such a thing. To swim in ice water in the middle of the winter is usser. You're going out of the way to endanger yourself. You're not staying safe. So maybe to make such a bracha, to say to Hashem, look, ha, I went over your Torah and you still saved me. Here, I'm making a bracha to you. It's a terrible thing. It's ein zeh mevarech el mena'it. That's a disgusting bracha. Hashem doesn't want to see your sins. So what's the answer? So Rav Avadya quotes actually fascinating machlokas found in the Machzik Bracha in his footnotes on that halacha in Shulchan Aruch. It's an Aruch Chaim Reshit Tess. So the Machzik Bracha, which is written by the Chidah, quotes a machlokas whether, get this, Yitzchak Avinu had to make a Berchas HaGomel when he came out alive from Akedas Yitzchak. Even though it's true that his life was saved miraculously, but he knowingly went into that scenario. He put himself in danger and then was saved. So does he have to make a Berchas HaGomel? So Rav Avadya quotes sources, he quotes yes and no, whatever, here and there. He quotes a lot of sources, Kedako Bekolesh, like is his way. But Rav Avadya at the end of the day says, everyone agrees you're going to make a bracha, you should for sure make a berchas hagomel if you get out of such a scenario. It's not like you were doing it lahachis, it's not like you were trying to rub it in the face of Hashem that you could defy all the laws of nature. You were just foolish, you were just swimming in the ice water because you thought it was cool, not wearing a jacket because you thought you could show your friends you're better than them. But of course you still make a bracha, berchas hagomel, when your life is saved. But, says Rav Avadya, in a worse scenario, let's say someone takes a lot of pills and tries to kill himself, or tries to inflict a wound that will kill himself. So, in such a scenario, if he doesn't die, the doctors miraculously save him. So, does he make a berchas hagomel? Does he thank Hashem for bringing him back to life with this nace, with this miracle? Says Rav Avadya, in that case, no berchas hagomel. In that case, it was so lahachas, it was so against Hashem, it was so up in your face that I'm going to take away my own life, achas dimchem, terrible aveira. So, says Rav Avadya, you can't make a berchas hagomel in such a case. Is there any scenario where you are allowed to put yourself in danger? Does it ever exist? Real danger, not Shomer Pesayim Hashem, real danger. So there is one famous tshuva of the Nodeb Yehuda, quoted by all the Achronim here, source number 12. The Nodeb Yehuda is found in Ma'adura Tinyana, Yorodea Simen Yud. He talks about hunting, whether you're allowed to go hunting. He has a few reasons why hunting is aser. Tzar Baalei Chaim, maybe it's going to be mutter. He has a couple of interesting shitas in this Noda Behuda, but he has an interesting line here. He says, maybe it should be aser to be a hunter just because you're going into the forest in the middle of the day where the animals are the predators and there it's their domain. You're putting yourself at great risk. You're putting yourself in harm's way. How can you go into the dangerous jungle like that and start hunting animals? So says Noda Behuda, maybe I have a pasuk in the Torah, which is quoted by the Gemara Baba Metzia, on Kuf Yud Beis, that says, a love who knows as nafsho. The Gemara takes that to mean that a person is not allowed to risk his life generally, but if he's poor and he only has one means of making a living, if this is his job, this is his way of earning his money, so in that scenario, a love who knows as nafsho, he's taking his life into his own hands, says the Gemara, that's okay. A person may risk his life for his job, if that's the job that he's already stuck with, I guess. Just an interesting tshuva. Yeah, so I hope to get there. Yeah, I hope to get there. Next step. Rav Moshe just has an interesting tshuva. I hope I put it here. Yeah, 13. The only reason I put it here is because he did one of those things where he tried to say English things in Yiddish. It's hilarious. Nishalti me'echan and mutter l'esparnes m'mishrak zrikas ha'kadurim. Are you allowed to play as a professional in throwing balls? Sports. But then he says, shnikra ball belaz. I thought that was funny, so I hope you guys enjoyed. Anyways, he says, yeah, you're allowed to be a professional athlete in this game, this sport, because even though it's true that once in a long while someone gets hurt playing baseball, I don't know what the sport he was referring to was, football, whatever it was, even though you may get hurt, but says Rav Moshe, this is your living, this is Noda Behuda, he ends up quoting Noda Behuda at the end of the tshuva, this is our example that you're allowed to use your living as an excuse to put yourself in some danger. Now, as Mr. Weichel just asked, so what about the following scenario? You're allowed to put yourself in danger to save someone else's life. So the Shulchan Aruch in Chulchan Mishpat in Tav Chav Zayin here, source number 14, the first line. So he says that Chayiv Adam L'Hatzil Es Chaveru, a person has to save his friend's life. That's true. But do you have to put yourself at risk to save your friend's life? Is that true? So there are a few makoros. There's a Sma over here. There's an Aruch HaShulchan in the same simon. A few makoros. But the most important is this Radvaz in Chelek Hayav Eshuvos in Simon Reish Yud Ches. The last part of source 14, he says there are three basic scenarios. If there, let's say you walk into your backyard and your friend is drowning in your kiddie pool. So you could save his life, but there's not even a suffix kind of that you're going to drown in a kiddie pool, right? That's ridiculous. So in such a scenario, of course you're mechuyev. You have to save your friend's life. You have to jump into the kiddie pool or deflate it or whatever you're going to do to save his life. You got to do that. Let's say your friend is in Vietnam a couple years ago, and he's surrounded by machine gunmen on every single side. So are you mechuyev to run into the middle and save him there? Well, so says the Radvaz, not only are you mechuyev, that's usser. You can't put yourself at risk when it's so obviously 100% chance of being hurt, being killed. You can't put yourself at risk to save someone else's life in such a scenario. The third scenario the Radvaz says is, let's say it's a suffix shakul, it's 50-50. I may get hurt, I may not get hurt, I don't know, and my friend's life is at stake. So then can I go in? He's drowning in a regular pool, a regular river, and you want to jump in with a life vest to save him. You may get hurt, but you may not. Says the Radvaz, in that case you're not chayev. It's not usser, it's mutter. If you judge the scenario to be correct, if you think you can save him, if you make the right cheshbon, then it makes sense you can jump in if you want to and try to save your friend from drowning in that pool. And this is the jump start for many of the discussions about kidney donations. Rav Moshe talked about this. Rav Avadya talks about this in Chilek Gimel of Yechav Adas. Whether kidney donations are dangerous and can you risk your life to give over kidneys? Too much to talk about right now. Also being an army medic in the army, when you're going to have to rush into the line of fire in order to save people who are down on the ground, so there are many considerations the post can raise. In that scenario, seemingly what we just said is at least a factor, but again, it's too big for our topic right now. But that's as much as the places where you are allowed to risk your life, seemingly the Noda Behuda says for your job, and what we just said over here from the Radvaz, there are scenarios where you may risk your life to save your friend's life. Now, just to end, I wanted to talk quickly about exercise. Hopefully we have just a minute here. Exercise. So what's the Torah perspective on exercise? We said health is important. So Rav Shechter often quotes the Magen Avraham in Simin Shin Chav Ches, who says that you have to, basically, Rav Shechter always says you have to listen to your doctors. That's first of all. You have to listen to the doctor of your generation. They know what's best for you. You have to pay attention to them. He also quotes the Magen Avraham in Simin Shin Chav Ches in Or Chaim, who says that explicitly, that in 2/3 of the scenarios, basically, a doctor is even allowed to force you to listen to him. And the other poskim have said this in the past. It's a pretty obvious idea that you should listen to Kabel HaChachma from someone who knows what he's talking about. They say a story. There's a 6-volume set of books on a biography of the Chazon Ish. There's 5 volumes called Pe'er Hador. There's one called Maisa Ish, which is also very good. I think it was looked over by Rav Chaim Kanievsky, so most of the stories are verified. Even if they're not, this story is about Rav Chaim Kanievsky. One time he was walking with the Chazon Ish in a garden, taking a nice little stroll, and suddenly the Chazon Ish turned to Rav Chaim and he said, "Do you see anyone near us? Is there anyone in your vicinity?" So Chaim said, nope, don't see anyone. And out of nowhere, the Chaznish just darted down the path, started running, sprinting, as if he was a little kid. Rav Chaim said he was running so fast he couldn't even catch up to him. He had to really sprint to catch up to him. So finally he caught up, he asked him, what's pshat, why did you just start running? So the Chaznish said, the doctors told me that a couple of times during the month I have to do some exercise, I have to run a little bit, and it's a mitzvah to listen to your doctor. You have to pay attention to the doctor. They say what's healthy for you. This is what's healthy for me. So seemingly that is a value, listening to the doctors, but is there any inherent value to exercising, even if your doctor didn't tell you to? So if you look at these sources, 15 and 16, so the Rambam makes it clear that there is some value to his'amlus, to expending energy in order to keep your brain functioning, in order to keep your body functioning. Those things are valuable. Inherently, the Torah does believe in keeping yourself fit to worship Hashem. And if you look on the left side, it's a quote from Rav Kook in his Oros HaTchiyah, Perek Lamed Hey, where he discusses, he actually got a lot of flack in this back then, but he discusses the pluses, the advantages to the fact that the children of Israel, the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael, the kids, that they run around, they play soccer, they do sports. In the footnotes over there, in the Oros HaTchiyah, they point out that backgammon is not a sport. Okay, in case anyone was wondering. They also say that it's not a sport to watch 24 people tackle each other and beat the heck out of each other. He said a sport is to run around, to exercise, to free your mind, free your spirit. That seemingly is very much a Torah value, very much a part of everything we've talked about tonight. So again, there's this mitzvah of Nishmartim. We tried to cover different aspects. We tried to cover where the mitzvah comes from, rather, and whether the mitzvah is Daraisa, whether the mitzvah is Darabanan. We assume it's probably Daraisa, but probably we can go either way also. Either way, it's a very important mitzvah. It's so important that it's not in Sveik Sveikos, we're still Machmir, and it's not Baltal Barov in certain scenarios. We talked about those type of things. We talked about what Shomer Pesayim Hashem is, whether that applies to smoking or not. Probably doesn't, at least anymore, even though Rav Moshe thought it did back then. So something that's so obviously dangerous is going to be so obviously Aser. Shomer Pesayim Hashem means in more normal scenarios, where society deems this a regular routine, in that scenario, if we see that people usually do it, then Shomer Pesayim Hashem, you can go ahead and take that tiny, tiny risk and do that activity. Discussed different scenarios where that might apply, skiing, skydiving, car riding, airplanes, all those things, very fun. We discussed Rav Avadji Yosef's tshuva about whether you make a berachas agomel if you put yourself into danger. You probably do, but if you were as bad as putting yourself in a situation of suicide, so that Rav Avadji said was out of the question, there's no bracha there. And we ended by discussing at least two scenarios where a person is allowed to put himself in danger. The Noda Behuda said, and a scenario of your job where you're keeping yourself alive with your money, so in that scenario you potentially could have a heter of risking your life on your job. And we also mentioned the idea of giving up your life to save other people. We said the Radvaz had three different scenarios. At least in two of the scenarios, it was either mutter or a mitzvah to give a certain risk, make a little sacrifice to save your friend's life. In the end, we discussed exercise. Probably it's an important idea to listen to your doctor, but inherently there's also some value to exercise, as seen by the story with the Chaznish, as seen by Rav Kook and the Rambam.